The scripture reading is Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today. There's a little funny weather out there this morning. Trying to snow, trying to sleet, trying to rain. But it is good to see everybody here today as we worship our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that through Jesus that we might have eternal life. And we have come together as we do each Sabbath without fear. One day we might not be able to get into here, into this sanctuary, because there may be a lock on it. And we'll have to find another place to worship together, in which we will be able to do because our God will be with us. And so I just pray and thank thee for everybody. We're going to talk about salt today. But to say, are we good for nothing? Or are we worth something? And we know truly that we are worth something because our Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us on Calvary's cross. So how many of you like salt? Give it a hand. Yeah, everybody. How many cook without salt? Don't add salt. Only one or two? Well, we know that salt is used for many things. And there, I don't use salt like I did sugar, because when I was small, I'd take the sugar bowl and just dip it, tip it up and take my sugar down that way for me. But not that way with salt. But I still have to use salt. I tell my wife that I'm the only person in the world that has to use salt. So, but we know that too much salt isn't good for us. So we just pray that we will use it in moderation. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our gracious God, yes, we come together to worship thee, to praise thee on the holy Sabbath day, this day that comes every seventh day, and will for eternity, Father, in which surety that we may be with our Savior each Sabbath through eternity. We thank thee for that promise that you have given to us, and we thank thee that we serve a risen Savior, that he is able to save. We pray that we are mingled with salt in order to be preserved for service to our God and to others. May we have the light of Jesus also, that we may go out to give the gospel message and do the work that you have given to each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, ye are the salt of the world, or salt of the earth. Salt is used for seasoning, for flavoring. Different types of salt we use. Hopefully that we won't have to use any rock salt or snow melt the rest of this during the spring time. We know that we will, at the end of the year come, we know that we're there. But in the Bible, God refers to his children in various ways. We're sheep, we're brethren, we're little ones, and there's many other names that God uses for his children. But when Jesus refers to us as salt, he's reminding us that we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be an influence in the world. We may not think it, that we can have an influence, but we can. We can influence our family. We can influence the people that we work at, the people that we meet, either in our brothers and sisters here in church. We can influence, either bad or good. We pray that we do choose to influence the good in us. And as we look at Matthew 5:13, let's turn to that, chapter 5 of Matthew 5:13, where it tells us that we are the salt of the world, salt of the earth. It follows the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus lists some qualities that are for all of God's children, and that we should have these in our lives. And when we possess these characteristics, we will be able to be a positive influence on others. And we can make a difference to the world around us. And we pray that we are doing that every day, making an influence in the world. Light is an external element that enables one to see. And we can have that light of Jesus just as a glistening limestone city high on a hill. And it can see that because of that light. And the brilliance of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be dimmed in any way. So we can have that light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And so that we use that salt to be an influence in the world. God wants to use our testimony also in our lives so that he can get the message there that those around us will be able to see it and know that these people can see and hear our testimony and can be touched by it. And we do touch others in whatever manner we influence them. And as I said, that touch can be either good or bad, and we pray for the good always. We have, in this one verse here, Jesus makes three statements that needs to be considered and understood by every child of God. And so we see that. Number one, a description to analyze. I believe that most people do realize that salt, the importance of salt, even though they may not abide by it, in maintaining the life and the health of their bodies. We see that salt is always present in our bloodstream, if we didn't know that, but it's always present in our bloodstream. And any deviation from that amount, from less or more, can affect our lives, and it can even cause death. So we need to be careful about the salt intake that we take. And it's also a sustainer of life, though, to need that salt. And for this reason, seawater will support many more organisms because of that salt in there. It's a preservative. Salt retards spoilage. So with this salt, we hope that we don't spoil in our work for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also used as a condiment, adding zest and flavor to your food. Salt in the scriptures is said to be a symbol of a binding covenant. We'll look at salt, how it is a covenant. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. Verse 13. Leviticus 2, verse 13. In just the middle part there, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God. You see that? So we have it. It's a binding covenant. It's a healing and cleansing oil. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Elijah tasting the salt, and he put that salt in the water, making it so that it would be useful again, and that there would be no more death or barren land from then on. So that it's also a stimulant to the appetite. Job 6:6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? A preventative of decay. If you would turn to Luke 14. Luke 14. Verses 34 and 36. 14, 34 and 36. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we see that. But we also know that salt is good. So promoter of peace. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verses 49 and 50. Mark chapter 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. It's a stimulant for our testimony. Matthew 5:13 is where ye are the salt of the earth. It's an evidence of grace in Colossians chapter 4. If you would turn to there, Colossians chapter 4. Verse 6. Colossians 4:6, which was our scripture meditation. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. We should have an answer for our faith. An answer for why we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Redeemer of the world. And we are also called salt because of our persevering ability. We'll look through many abilities that God has given us. And the first one is persevering ability. Salt wards off rotten decay. It's rubbed into meat in an effort to season it and to preserve it. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah could have been saved by the persevering influence of 10 righteous men in Genesis 19, but it did not happen. And in a very convincing way, the presence and the prayers of salty Christians have done more to preserve the world than anything else that we could name. Second one is our penetrating ability. Salt will penetrate and infiltrate whatever it touches. It is an aggressive substance, Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4, and chapter 17, verse 6. We have been called by the Lord to be an active force into the world around us. And I pray that each one of us can be that active force. Many times we hold back for one reason or another, but we know that we truly have to move forward if we're going to be representatives of Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray that we are there. Another one is our purifying ability through the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Kings chapter 2, 19 through 22. It has remarkable cleansing abilities. Elisha added the salt there to the water at Jericho. And we can have a purifying effect on the world around us because of the purifying power of the blood of Jesus. Another one is our pleasing ability. I pray sometimes that I don't feel like that I have a pleasing ability. But sometimes I do, I guess, and sometimes I don't. You know, salt blends and adds favor, bringing out the best in food. Some foods are even better uneaten if they don't have some amount of salt onto them. And Christians should favor and flavor the world around them, each one of us, to use that salt to be a flavor to the world, be a flavor to the Lord Jesus Christ in representing him here in this world. And as salt, we are to live our lives so that we bring out the best in others around us. Philippians chapter 1, if you would turn there, just back. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we know that we have to strive together to be workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. In our promoting ability that we have, salt creates a thirst for water. And so we just know that we do that. And as salt, Christians have a wonderful opportunity to promote to the world of peace, to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel message that is so precious to each and every one. We should be willing to go out and to promote that gospel message in any way that we can that is right. So we do that. And to give that thirst for Jesus so that others can have that same thirst that we have. So I pray that we are doing that. And then remember what the Lord told us in John chapter 7. If you turn to that, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Let's see that. Out of the believers would flow rivers of water. So when we take the call of Jesus seriously and live right, look right, act right, talk right, worship right, dress right, then we have the ability to create thirst for Jesus in the hearts of those around us. And I pray that we're trying to do that every day. And then our proven ability that we may have. Salt changes nearly everything that it touches, and so on. So that makes them changes in us, so that we have the ability through Jesus Christ to do the work that he has given to us, to be that instrument of God that he wants to use to change a wicked world. We know that he could even call on the rocks to do these things, but he's chosen his creation, humanity, to be the representative of here upon this earth. But there is also a danger to avoid. Salt was very valuable in ancient times and in the world. In fact, the Roman legions used to get paid in that. That was their wages, was paid in salt. The payment was called salarium. This is where the expression, "not worth his salt," came from. In ancient times, it was also possible for salt to lose its flavor, even if it does as does today. And now salt was used in different ways than it is today. And for the salt that we use today, salt today is a chemical compound, sodium chloride. And it's also possible for Christians to lose their salt, to use their saltness as well. And I pray that we're not doing that, that we're not losing our saltness today. But it happens when we get very close to the world. So we have to be careful. When we allow our wills to be filled with junk that is out there, we know that we are practically looseless for the Lord. We want the Lord to use us in all ways for his kingdom work. There's a destiny to abhor also with that. In ancient times, when salt lost its flavor, it was taken out and cast onto the footpaths. And the only purpose was to kill the weeds and then for the soldiers or for the people to walk on so their sandals wouldn't get in the mud. So there still was a use for it, you know. And so that they see that it trodden under the foot of man. And so we see that as we read that in the Word of God. We also understand that when we lose our saltness and when we cease to function as a salt in the world, we know that, again, once again, we're good for nothing. And I pray this morning that we are not that we are good for something, good for being the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ as children of the God, paid by the ransom price of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do have a beautiful message to give, the gospel message to give to the world of Jesus Christ in him crucified. And we know that we have to be useful to the Lord so that he may be able to use us, so that we don't become something to be trodden upon. And we know that out there in the world, as Christians, in the time ends, that people are going to try to trod us underfoot because of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, our commitment to the Christian religion that we have, and that we are truly sons and daughters of God. And so we just don't want to lose the savoriness of salt. Be good for nothing. We need to have the living principles of truth in our life. The poor, sin-hardened souls are not left to perish in their corruptions. That's what we're out there for, to go after these poor, sin-trodden people and bring them into Christ so that they can also be souls for the kingdom. So we pray that we'll see that. Ellen White says, telling us about this being the principles of truth. God works are seen, for the living principles of righteousness cannot be hidden. And so as we look at that, I see just a couple of the things that I wanted to read from the Mount of Blessings. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. I don't know how many of you had this book or not, but it's a good book. Salt is valued for its preservative properties, and when calls his children salt, he would teach them that his purpose in making them the subjects of his grace is that they may become agents in saving others. The object of God is choosing a people before all the world was not only that he might adopt them as his sons and daughters, but through them the world might receive the grace that bringeth salvation. Titus 2:11. Jesus, in that last prayer with his disciples before his crucifixion, said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth." John 17:19. In like manner, Christians who are purified through the truth will possess saving qualities that preserve the world from utter moral corruption. Salt must be mingled with the substance to which it is added. It must penetrate and infuse in order to preserve that men are reached by the saving power of the gospel. Personal influence is a power. We must come close to those who we desire to benefit. It is not only the power of man himself, but the power of the Holy Spirit that does the transforming work. As they listened to the words of Christ, the people could see the white salt glistening in the pathways where it had been cast out because it has lost its savor and was therefore useless. It well represented the condition of the Pharisees in the effect of their religion upon society. Without a living faith in Christ as a personal Savior, it is impossible to make our influence felt in a skeptical world. So we have to have that living faith to be able to be workers for Christ. So we need to have a tremendous need for every child of God to be all that God wants us to be. We need to be focused on the business of the day of purifying, preserving, penetrating, pleasing, and promoting, so that the Lord can use our lives and our testimonies for his praise and for his glory. We need to be salty Christians, and I pray that each one of us are that. Yes, our Heavenly Father, our work will be over one day. Probation closes for your church and then for the world. We know that our Lord will come for his people. We pray that we are prepared each day, and that we prepare others to be a purifying, preserving, penetrating, and pleasing, promoting as useful tools for Christ and given the great gospel commission. Oh Lord, we're waiting to be able to see you face to face. We pray that it is soon. We pray that we will work for thee, that we will lay aside all of our differences, lay aside the things in the world that are drawing us, and that we will turn towards our Lord every moment of our lives. To have that prayer, that ceaseless prayer that we have, and so that we can have that communion with thee. The windows of communication are open. So we just pray that we will talk to thee, that we will have that conversation while your ear is turned towards the earth to hear your people. Oh, Lord, we truly want to be with our Savior soon. So we pray through his precious name that all these will happen. Amen.